Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the greatest show on earth, broken but glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Diamond Nick Davey.
So I had to really finish a strawberry then. Good evening.
He's still eating strawberries.
It's my strict pre-season diet. Sadly, it included 20 pints on the Cricket World Cup final on Sunday. But hey-ho, welcome to the show.
And free-time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Good evening.
How you doing this evening, lads?
Yeah, fine. Thanks, Chris. Yourself?
Bit tired. Just stayed up late to watch this last night, so yeah, still have to get up at 6.
Absolutely knackered. So yeah, if I do, I generally have, I am close to falling asleep. So we need to have a fun, energetic show because otherwise it could be you could be hearing some snoring at some point. That's nothing against anything. Nothing against the pay per view. It's just me. Long day at work, football training. Let's get into the show.
So.
Lots of energy.
So a few news bits before we get into the Extreme Rules. So firstly, I went to Wrestle Island this past weekend, so I just wanted to go through the results. So it was an amazing show. So Frederick Riley defeated Friends of the Show Lance Rivera and Alexis Falcon via a pin. During the match, Demon and I and Abaddon abducted Alexis, and she hasn't been seen since. So I would say at the last show, they broke up the Rejected split, so Alexis is no longer part of Rejected. Okay, Paradox defeated A2A and Joe Bolton via pin. Joe Bolton then destroyed A2A following the defeat, turning heel. Probably my match of the night, Scott Boseman defeated friend of the show, Cameron Solis, via DQ. He beat him down with a chair and Cameron just couldn't get up. Cameron spoke post-match saying he could no longer be our heroes and then left his boots in the ring, so we don't know what's going to happen with Cameron. Will he be back at the island? We don't know. So then, we had a great match. No Hold Barred. Demon and I defeated Gino Ramsey. There was some great spots in this. They put out a table and then covered it in Lego. And then Demon and I went through it. His back is a mess. You can see it. It's not very family-friendly. Then they set up two tables outside. Demon I speared Gino Ramsey through them too to get the win. And then, one of the stipulations of the match was if Demon I had lost, then he was out of the island. But he won, so. Mr. Williams returned as general manager, which is everybody loved. If you've listened to our interviews with Billy Norton, you'll know that he defeated Mr. Williams about a year ago, so he had to leave the island, not been seen since. Then Harry and McKenney had an open challenge, which was answered by Jessica Light, who recently had a trial WWE. McKenney won following Dan Evans hitting Light with the power-up briefcase, whilst Natalie Wilde distracted the referee. Some bad news that Jessica Light did suffer a concussion during this bit, and she was taken away in an ambulance, like, shoot. I did wish her well on Twitter today, so I hope she got the message. So, but she did manage to challenge Natalie Wilde to a match the next show, which Wilde accepted. And then Tal Ballon, from most people know him from Preston City Wrestling, he made his debut. He took out McKenney, beat him down, and then kissed him on the forehead and helped him backstage. So I'm not sure if that's a weird partnership starting. But then it could be interesting. So, then we had a submission match. Babyface Pitbull defeated Billy Norton. Beginning of the match, Mr. Williams came out and appointed his deputy, Lucy Sky, as referee. And then they screwed Norton. So he didn't submit, but they made the bell ring. It was the Birkenhead Screwjobs calling it. So then we had another one contenders match, which where Warren Banks defeated Terry Izzet, HT Drake, and Drill. Izzet And then Terry is at post-match turned face, helping Banks following the beatdown by Drill and Drake. And then former Ireland champion, Sean Only, defeated the holder of the power-up briefcase, Dan Evans, in a really fun match. And then the main event was the Wrestle Ireland Championship, which saw Lucas Steele retain against Opera Mania Matthew Brooks. And post-match, Warren Banks made the save following a beatdown on Matthew Brooks. And it was an amazing show, and Peter's doing a brilliant job, and I can't wait for the show in October. Right, so in other news, apparently it's LAX's final match was at Slammiversary. They're reportedly wanted by AEW and WWE. Where would you like to see LAX go?
In a weird way, no. Just for the sake of the fact that we've seen them, how badly the tag team division has been used in WWE. Whilst NXT's great, you always want the end goal to be even better. So until I see improvement in the tag team division in WWE, in all fairness, we have seen slight improvement for obviously now with the tag team. But I mean, I still don't think we ever get long-term planning. I think they call teams up willy-nilly from NXT without having any storylines actually planned for them.
Yeah.
So I think you've already seen that with the Viking Raiders, brought them up, made them drop the NXT titles for no really reason because they've done absolutely nothing on the main roster.
We've had like four squash matches in a row, I think.
Exactly. So until I see, this is just me, obviously personal. So I'm not trying to tell them what they can and can't do with their careers. But from a personal point of view, I don't want to see any good tag teams on the indie scene go near WWE just for how bad they've been used. I'd much rather see them go to AEW, where we've already seen brilliant tag team wrestling and the fact that they could have some great matches with, obviously, Young Bucks and what have you.
Yeah, for me, I completely agree with Nick, in all honesty. Although, after Sunday's show, we're talking about tag team wrestling. That's as good as it's been in a while. So, maybe adding LAX to the mix on either SmackDown Live or Raw would be fantastic, or even NXT, if the Street Profits are going up. But, yeah. For AEW, you've got the Lucha Brothers, the Young Bucks, Cody and Dustin, and I'd love to see LAX mix it up with any of those teams. So, kind of on the fence either way, to be honest. As long as they're used correctly and to the best of their ability, I don't mind where they end up.
I think they should go to NXT UK. they need some tag teams. They're going to go anywhere in WWE. So, but I did ask our Twitter followers where they wanted LAX to sign. 43% said AEW. 17% said they should re-sign with Impact. 21% said WWE. And 19% said they should stay on the indies. Right, and finally, we have launched our website 3 weeks ago. Not only can you find all our podcasts and our interviews, you can find all the latest news from WWE, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, MLW, Progress, the rest of the British scene, and much, much more. So please go check that out.
This is the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lance Rivera, and you are listening to the number one wrestling podcast, Broken But Glorious.
I want to start with the Graveyard Dogs. I think that's the greatest tag team name ever.
That is actually the name of the team, though, isn't it? I thought you guys were just messing with me.
No.
The Graveyard Dogs. what do you think is that better than all? What was Strowman McIntyre and Ziggler called? Like the Dogs of War.
Yeah.
Graveyard Dogs.
They brought the T-shirts out and everything, so they might be staying together for a bit. Yeah. So I love this match. I think it was a great opener, and it's the best Taker's looked in years, I thought. So,
yeah. I would say this is my favourite Undertaker match since CM Punk.
Wow, that match. Long,
I'd say go far as CM Punk's match at WrestleMania 29. Potentially Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam 05 or Hell in a Cell 05. They were okay, but...
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't have been much worse than the match they had at WrestleMania 30, but it was one of the best matches I've seen Taker have for years. And I think this is what they really need to have. I think they need to use him in tag team wrestling, potentially. I mean, I don't know what they're going to go over him and McIntyre at SummerSlam, but I think using him in tag team wrestling for a while, or if he's got, what was that, how long he's got left, but I'd keep him in tag team wrestling with younger guys, because he looked great in this. Obviously, he can have his rest throughout the match. And obviously, again, it removes that. It just removes all. Hopefully, it starts to remove our knowledge of that match against Goldberg at the Saudi show. Because I'm happy this has happened, because we did not want to remember Undertaker's career on that diabolical.
No.
Whatever you want to call it, you can't call it wrestling.
I think we did. We did mention on the Saudi review that we wanted to see Taker needs to be in the ring with younger guys who can cover up his shortfalls. And we came up with the idea of him possibly going into a more brawler, hardcore style, just to...
You know what? This was actually my match of the night. I'm going to say, this was my match of the night. I really, really enjoyed it. I think this is, again, just the fact that it really surprised me, because, yeah, going into the show, obviously the matches I was looking forward to, your standards, your Black versus Cesaro, Kofi, Joe, and what have you. You know the matches are going to be great. This match, I was on the fence, like, it'll be different, won't it? Will it be great? Probably not, but it was brilliant. Blew me out once you said it was a great start to the show.
Yeah,
and there were some really lovely touches in this match, I thought, as well. My favourite touch was when Undertaker was sort of there, then you just had McIntyre. The camera work was brilliant when McIntyre just came from behind. I don't know about you, but he even gave me a bit of goosebumps just watching. Oh crap, he's going to knock the block off Taker really here, isn't he, with the Claymore. And then even brilliant. I didn't even expect Reigns to come out of nowhere. And yeah, great.
That face that he was pulling made him look like a psychopath. The mantra is Scottish psychopath so suited him in that moment.
Yeah, well, spot on. And as I say, those little touches I think really helped. And there's a lot of them on this show that I'm going to be going through as well, the little touches, because they really helped the wrestling, I think. And great open to the show and really blew me out of the way. And I'd say, yeah, my match of the night. I think everyone, even Shane, did his part. And this proves that Shane has done great heel work, because there was even times when he hit the coast to coast on Taker, I even shouted at the top of my voice, bollocks, this is how this is going to end, isn't it?
Yeah.
A part of me was like, I suppose I can go back and look at the Twitter meltdowns. But no, it was brilliant, really great open to the match and to the show, my match of the night, before we even get into it. And this set the tone for a fantastic pay-per-view.
See, for me, one of the best things about this was the minimal use of the stipulation, no holds barred.
Yeah.
Because that allows things to be smoke and mirrors kind of thing. And I thought the minimal use of it, they really had to wrestle a good match. And much like Nick, I wouldn't go as far as calling it match of the night, but it was really good use of all four men. And I guess.
And Elias.
Oh, and Elias, sorry.
Walk with Elias.
And I guess we're going to see two singles matches at SummerSlam. And if Undertaker can put over Drew McIntyre, then it's all been worth it, really. Because, Reigns will beat Shane, so that should end that. And then if Undertaker can get McIntyre across, that should set him up for a main event run Universal title or the WWE title. And that'd be fantastic to see, really.
Would you not like to see the Graveyard Dogs stay together for a bit?
I reckon that it would be good to keep them as having them on like the odd show, maybe on like the next Saudi show.
Oh, no.
because it's good. We won't have Undertaker against Sting or Undertaker against Stone Cold or something that we get as much as I'd love to see Stone Cold rest again. We won't get Undertaker against another 50-year-old.
Hmm.
You can keep them as a team, just let them do single stuff, or let Reigns do single stuff. But I think the one thing Undertaker has to do is get McIntyre across. He needs to lose the McIntyre at SummerSlam, and then that pushes him up. And then, even though he should have been there a long time ago, he should be the number one contender going into September's pay-per-view.
If I could fancy book for a minute, I have thoughts about this afternoon.
So, go on.
So I would have the Graveyard Dogs. That's the greatest name for a tag team ever.
You're loving this.
I'd have them win the tag team titles from the Revival at SummerSlam, because there's a connection with Shane and the Revival. And then I'd have them hold the titles till Clash of Champions, where Drew will cost them the titles and then beat down Taker after the match, so he's straight stretched away, he's off TV for weeks. And then for the next couple of Raws in the run up to the October pay-per-view, which I think is Hell in the Cell, maybe?
We
had a Hell in the Cell show.
It might be September. I think Hell in a Cell September, isn't it?
I thought Clash of Champions was September.
Oh, well, I'm completely wrong, so I thought that was December.
I thought TLC was December, unless it's changed.
Well, I know last year they changed it around because they put on that bone, they put on the Aussie show, didn't they?
Yeah, so we've still got the Saudi show in November. Well, whatever. We'll say it's Hell in a Cell for the sake of my
booking. No, last year the Saudi show was the 1st of November, I think it was, because I think they balanced it out because it was like a week after Evolution and like 3 weeks before Survivor Series.
Well, they've cancelled a bunch of house shows in the UK because of the Saudi show this year in November.
Brighton stayed, though. See you guys.
All right.
Because it's the greatest city in the world. We're not a big city, but we're a proud one. We face people like... anyway.
For the sake of my booking, we'll have it as Hell in the Cell. So in the lead, the Raw's leading up to Hell in the Cell, I would have Drew destroy jobbers, but I'd have the jobbers come out dressed in classic, iconic Taker attire. So you could have the grey gloves, Ministry, American Badass, and he'll just destroy them. And then the Monday before Hell in the Cell, Undertaker would challenge Drew to a match in the Hell in the Cell. I would have Drew win clean over the Undertaker, and then Undertaker would challenge him again for a Survivor Series, and the Taker would put his career on the line, which I would have Drew win, and then Undertaker can retire at Survivor Series, where it all began 29 years earlier, and that will push Drew to the moon, and he can win the Royal Rumble.
Good idea.
Yeah, no, I could disagree with that booking very. I'm sort of lost for words. I think you need to, obviously the booking's now changed. There might be a while for a job vacancy to come up for booking Raw SmackDown. So tonight's the first week for some people in their new job. great booking. Well, the good thing as well is that he's retired. You can always have him come, like, the night after WrestleMania. I thought it was great use of him over the WrestleMania weekend. Just an appearance the night after when you've got quite a hot crowd. You could even do stuff like that for going on. Even they've got the Raw reunion, isn't it? Couple of weeks time or 1 week time, he'll always be around for stuff like that, even if it's just to scare people or what have you. You don't need to have him wrestle, he can just make the odd appearance here and there and he'll still be a legend. As I said, I just hope he ends on a... I think this has given me hope that he will end in a good match, because there was nothing I wanted to see worse, that he ends with a match like the Goldberg match, because that would just kill one of the greatest, if not the greatest wrestler to ever step foot in a squared circle.
I just think it'll make sense if it's against somebody he just couldn't beat, so he had to put his career on the end. Like, it'll be like, it's like the Michaels did.
Angle.
Like Michaels did. He put his career on the end, on the line, so he could face The Undertaker, because Undertaker wouldn't accept his challenge.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention Raw Reunion? What's that all about? Is it just to get ratings? Apparently it's the idea of the network.
Apparently they're going to be... it's on the network, is it?
No, it's the idea of USA's came up with this idea. So, to try and get ratings.
Well, apparently I've been, apparently one of the ideas to boost ratings, because obviously, you know, speak about Raw and SmackDown ratings, they want to do more like fun shows like Raw, like they want to have more like, they want to have like Raw Roulette, stuff like that, like Power to the People, Raw Reunion, they want to do more shows like that for the rest of the year. Apparently they want to have like the odd shows, I did read. So this could be the start. I'm not saying they need to go crazy and do something different every week, but just the odd show here and there. Because I love all that sort of stuff. I do like the Raw Reunion. It's more just for the segments rather than the storyline telling. But I suppose you could insert some of the SummerSlam builds as well. I don't know if they're going to have any big matches of SummerSlam, like in the sense of Legends. I suppose Take It will be the obvious one. But the segment's good. I'm happy Austin's going to be there, because you can't mind. It's the best feeling in wrestling, hearing that glass shatter, isn't it? Come on.
Definitely.
There's just nothing beats it, does it? Even now, like, I bet you as well, viewers will go up, because you'll have even people, I don't know, people used to watch it back in the day, they might even know one wrestler now, but they'll probably still watch it next week, even if it's just watching the segments on YouTube. That'll still go, obviously, that'll still be a view of full WWE in a sense, won't it?
Yeah, the thing is, when they bring all the legends back, people don't watch the next week. So they'll need to do something really good on the show so people then watch it next week.
Well, the last one they did was brilliant Raw, one of my favourite Raws of the year. Well, I know it's obviously not a big category of them, but when Batista, when it was Ric Flair's reunion night and Batista attacking him, I thought that was a great ending to the show. And that straight away I was like, well, I'm buzzing for next week's Raw.
Yeah.
Because I want to know why he did it. My ideal thinking was hopefully he's just pissed off he hasn't been given an invite for the birthday. But yeah, no, so I quite like these sort of shows.
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, Bret Hart was mentioned, but there wasn't like a photo of him. That's the one thing that kind of stuck out to me. He's kind of mentioned in passing when he's, you know, one of the greatest of all times. I think, you know, the only thing you need to do it really is to use those stars to give credibility to the young guys. And that's how you get people to watch the next week. Say the Revival takeout, give me a tag team from yesteryear, and that would give them a lot of credibility.
Every tag team I thought of, at least one member's dead. Rock and Roll Express. You know,
if they do that, then you give credibility to that team because they're going to be on the show afterwards, and this reunion isn't, you know, people on the reunion aren't going to be. So just use it as an opportunity to get across new stars, basically, and then it would have done its job perfectly.
Hi, my name's Alan Kate, and you're listening to the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Enjoy it, you scumbags.
So next I wanted to focus on the mid-card titles. Were you surprised that both titles changed hands?
Really surprised that the Intercontinental title changed hands.
Yeah.
But I guess that's because of, you know, what we've been reading lately about Nakamura finding his feet again and possibly signing a long contract. So that made sense. I've just read about Finn Balor asking for some time off. So that makes it make more sense. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic match on the kickoff show. I don't know if we're going to talk about the Cruiserweight title match, but that was brilliant as well. Just really good. And for Ricochet versus AJ Styles, a little bit more methodical than what we would have expected. I think this is the reason why I'm not a huge fan of AJ Styles as a bad guy, because I like it when he controls he fights from underneath, but in this instance he controls the match. Nothing against AJ Styles in this role, but yeah, I like him the other way around, really. But another really good match, and he kind of had to win the title if he's got the club as backup, didn't he, really? Because why have you got the club as backup if they're not going to help you win titles? So that's kind of a spoiler before the match happened, really. So
Nick, in your recent article you wrote about the club reunion, you wanted Finn to join the faction. Could this be the genesis of Finn joining the club?
Oh boy, did you read my mind.
Dangerous stuff.
I actually went back and watched, not all of the pre-show, but I went back and watched Nakamura Balor because I heard good things about it from friends. And didn't seem to me, I mean, I heard another podcast mention it as well, because I said straight away, well, this seems a bit odd. He looked very like, he was wrestling like he did when he was a face, Nakamura, like the way he was getting the crowd sort of going in a bit. Probably that's just my imagination, I don't know. But I was hoping, I know you just said about Balor having time off, but I was hoping for a SummerSlam that we get maybe a almost like a double turn, maybe, between the two. But if Balor's obviously off, then that's not happening.
He's asked for 2 months off, but it's not going to be until September. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's fine. Well, you can even do it there then, and then just try and be a bit subtle about it, over the thing. So I'd have him maybe even lose to Nakamura again as like they shake hands or something, and then after Balor's the one who beats him up, so it's like a double turn, and then. That could actually work quite well then. If he has then 2 months off, you could have him then return in the club. So, I'd love to see Balor join the club. And I think this could be a way to even get, as I say, Nakamura as a face feuding with the club, which could be a more forgiving people's second chance. So if you even give it the feud of him and AJ second time, it doesn't even have to be him and AJ at the centre. It could even be Nakamura Balor as the middle card sort of feud. As I mentioned, I'd like to have sort of a middle, someone from the club having a middle card feud, a top card feud, and a tag team feud. So, I'd love that. That could happen. Like a double turn. SummerSlam could be a great place to do it, because that was last year when a certain man did a heel turn, or a supposed to be a heel turn or double turn last
super
year.
Super face turn.
SummerSlam. But yes. So I'd like to see that at SummerSlam. I think if they could do that. And as I say, it could almost be a blessing in disguise. I know he's got a couple of months off. You could have him lead the screens for a couple of months, and then, as you say, return as a bad guy. Well, obviously a bad guy, but to help out the club. But yeah, then on the AJ thing, I think he was had to. I didn't think this match was as good as matches they've had on Raw as well. Whether when you go and watch matches on TV, you don't have high expectations, do you? So, but I thought the matches on Raw were actually a lot better than this match.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still great, don't get me wrong. It's AJ Styles, Ricochet. And Ricochet, in my opinion, is one of the best in the world at the moment. Just behind a certain English wrestler. I think it was great, but not as good as the matches on Raw. But certainly don't want this to be the end of the feud. I hope they have a trendy 2 out of 3 falls match at SummerSlam. Quite good between the two. But I know that's only on SmackDown these days, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I was thinking if they had a rematch at SummerSlam, you could have Finn demon up, and then Nakamura still wins, which could send Finn crazy, and he'll just go off. Just film a load of vignettes so that he'd still be on TV for the next 2 months, but he just wouldn't be wrestling. And then return, and then in the last vignette, I'll just say, "But I'll need to find some friends or something stupid like that," and then return with the club.
We need to get you working behind the scenes in WWE, Chris. It's crazy now.
So let's say that Finn moves to Raw, joins the club, and Nakamura is now super hot on SmackDown.
Moves to Raw.
Does it matter with the wild card rule?
1 week 9 superstars are on SmackDown, go from Raw to SmackDown. The week after 6.
I think once SmackDown's on Fox, I think the brand split's going to start again.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Last week, I don't know if we did it last week on the show or the week before, but I hope they in the build up to, I think it was the week before actually, I hope we start seeing a bit more, like, I hope they announce it, then we see like overcoming like months, like Eric Bischoff and Heyman like trying to tout people up backstage segments leading to the draft on the actual launch night.
I'd have a draft. I keep thinking SummerSlam's going to be the end of August like it usually is, but it's the early, isn't it, this year?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the weekend the Premier League starts, I think.
It is, yeah. Right, so let's...
Got my ticket for Watford away today.
So let's say Finn moves to Raw, joins the club. Nakamura is now super hot on SmackDown. I could see Nakamura heading up like a new SmackDown 6, maybe, with like if Andrade at Black... Ali, Buddy Murphy, Rusev, that type of...
Undisputed Era.
No, I don't want Undisputed Era moving up yet. They've got too much to... So, who would be your...
You got a really bad call there, Nick.
Yeah.
So who would be your new SmackDown 6? Who would be your new SmackDown 6? If you had...
SmackDown 6.
You could have SmackDown 6, SmackDown 7, so that works as well.
Are these faces or heels?
Everyone.
Back in the day where they just had 6 wrestlers and they based the show around. Do you know them to a match between these two people?
Oh, sorry, I see what you mean. I thought you meant a stable, sorry.
I've got to remember who's on which show without the wild card rule. So this is going to be fun.
I'll make a wild guess. Okay, Kofi, Samoa. No, he's not even on this. Kofi, Samoa. Fuck it, I'm just going to go for it. I don't care about the wild card rules. I'm just going to go 6 superstars. Kofi, Joe, Andrade, Nakamura, Balor. How many have I got?
That's 4.
Orton, 5. And 6. We'll give it to. Oh, we've got Black, haven't we?
Alistair
Black.
Alistair Black, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so for me, trying to remember the wild card rule. Nakamura, Andrade, Kofi, Bryan, but I still want to keep him as a team with Rowan.
Yeah.
So it's still team, but he'll be a one-on-one superstar as well. So that's four. Aleister Black, five. Kevin Owens.
Fight.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, I was going to... Originally, I did have Owens and Bryan and Kofi, but I thought they can be off in the WWE title scene, and I wanted my SmackDown 6 to be an upper mid-card thing, so that's why I went for Andrade, Aleister Black, Ali, Buddy Murphy, and Rusev with Nakamura. So, Aleister Black versus Cesaro was my match of the night. I thought it was great. They got enough time. There was no rubbish rest spots. They worked a very indie non-WWE style match, I thought, and it was a bit really entertaining, competitive, and I thought the black mass at the end was probably the best black mass I've seen.
Yeah. I've got no complaints about this match at all. It was great. It was probably my, going into it, it was the match I was most looking forward to. Did it deliver? Yes. Was it my match of the night? No, just because I was a bit over, reasons behind the Reigns match, but it was great. No complaints. They got fair time. Correct winner. So great. I think the fact that other matches delivered was only a good thing. So no complaints. I thought it was a great match, and you can't really ask much more. And I really hope as well that we. I hope we get Black versus Orton at SummerSlam, and I hope it's a really. I hope Black just kicks him in the head and it's done. Hope to get a black mask straight away.
Yeah,
I really hope we get a squash match at SummerSlam.
my only complaint was it. I think Cesaro needs better new music.
So it's crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I always liked his old one.
Yeah.
And he came out. I always like it when he come out like Superman.
Yeah.
Or when he'd come out like James Bond or whatever. When he'd come out some sort of fictional character in a suit and rip it off. I like that.
Yeah. I loved his old theme. I was like, who's this? I don't know. I don't recognise his feet because I don't watch SmackDown. So.
Yeah, much like you guys, this is a fantastic match. Loved the reveal of Cesaro on SmackDown. That was pretty cool. And the match,
the best game of musical chairs ever.
Yeah, so a really good re-debut of Aleister Black, and hopefully this is just the beginning, really, of his journey as a SmackDown 6 superstar.
Yeah, I'd have him being undefeated then, and Bray Wyatt being
How
undefeated.
How great is his theme tune, by the way? Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
It's one of my favourite ones. Brilliant. And I love his entrance as well. He got a big pop as well, didn't he?
Got a huge pop, yeah.
I couldn't believe it, how big
it was. People
haven't
seen him for about 2 months.
But like, it was like, it was weird, big, like when he came out of that thing, it was almost like, I was like, oh, was he from, in my head, was he from Chicago? I was like, no, of course he's from Dutch. So I just didn't get it, but no, I'm not dissing it, it was brilliant, but I think it really helped as well to the entrance, and it was a quality entrance, and it just felt very, like a big entrance almost as well, which I really liked, and at the start of their booking, obviously, now we just have to play the nerves and wait for WWE to obviously cock it up.
This is Ravishing Rohit Raju, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, so what are your thoughts on Brock cashing in and winning the title?
I thought it was a sour way to end the show, in all honesty, because we know what's going to happen with Brock as the champion, so it was a mood killer to end the show for me.
Do you not think Heyman now booking Raw that he could book Brock with the title a bit more interesting?
Yeah, but Brock doesn't want to be on any of the shows, and he barely wants to be on a pay-per-view, so I don't see how that's going to change, in all honesty.
Brock, stop watching the shows now, will they? I thought it was great. Like the Money in the Bank cash in, I thought it was great. Because I just didn't expect that. I was looking at, like, again, it's weird. Like, I was going through sort of stuff I think outside stuff that could happen at Money in the Bank. Brock winning was never, ever even crossed my mind.
this, I never thought Brock would cash in at this pay-per-view. And again, it makes sense as well of Heyman's promo as well. Heyman's little promo when he goes, so I could be the world's biggest liar, or I could be Paul Heyman. And with that little wink at the Philly crowd, because of his history there. Heyman and Bischoff do start this week, right? I'm going to sound like a total knob, but they don't.
Yes, right? they officially start today, this week.
It was started last night, I feel more in a better place. Like last year when it got to this stage before SummerSlam, I think all of us are praying, and myself, and we're all praying to God that Reigns or Strowman or someone will take the bloody belt off Lesnar. I feel a bit more, I don't know, I think the fact that Seth's reign hasn't been great, in all honesty, I don't think it's been that enjoyable. Whilst his match against Styles was, whilst the matches haven't been too bad at all, the Styles matches in particular have been great, of all these Styles match, I should say. I think obviously being the WWE champion, it's not all about the matches. You also need to have great programming on weekly TV.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been that enjoyable. I know obviously they could argue, you could play devil's advocate and ask, well, hang on, he doesn't book the show, sort of thing. But to be a champion, you still obviously, it still is pressure on you to deliver. And I don't think it's been that enjoyable. Obviously the figures do speak for themselves. I'm not distant stuff, he's one of my favourite guys on the roster, but I think it's, well, the timing's a great time to cash in, because naturally Brock will be at SummerSlam, so we've got 4 or 5 weeks, so you like to think that's enough time for Heyman to get a great feud going into SummerSlam. And then there's also who could he fight, because if they stick to this no rematch rule, then Seth doesn't just jump straight to the back, to the front of the line. So there's lots of wrestlers he could face that could take the belt off him. But then I do hope it is Seth, and you have a chance to see Seth really the beast slayer, and they go again, sort of thing. So, I was a big fan.
Yeah, I think this is going to be completely short term, Ray, and they just wanted a complete reset on Seth's title run. Have him have a clean win over Brock. Don't have him do low blows and have 2 minute matches with chairs and stuff. Just he wins. They have a good 10-15 minute match. Seth wins. It's reset him as the Beast's killer, and then, like, because I think Brock will be moving to SmackDown when the Fox deal comes through.
Yeah.
So I think this is just completely short term thinking. They'll have Brock on every week for the next 4 weeks doing something.
That is my thinking with it. Also about the timing, I think just before SummerSlam, I think it does make sense. I mean, it would be more depressing if you did it at SummerSlam, because then you do think, oh crap, when's he actually going to be around to defend the belt? And then you probably would have then, yeah, he'd straight spend time with the Saudi show, which is November. So I think I'm quite happy in a way he has done it now, but I did get a bit of a laugh when the music did hit, only because it happened so quick as well.
Yeah.
After the match. For the match itself as well, I was it was probably the worst match of the night, I thought. Actually, that's not me trying to. I don't want to diss the show. Well, again, it was this, and yeah, the two title matches I didn't think were that great. The Kofi Joe match I didn't think was that great as well, which is some of the trends of the Stomping Grounds. But I thought there were some spots. I did like the ending with Corbin doing the move on Becky.
Yeah.
Seth then having that face, I'm going to kick the fuck out of you, basically, which I thought was great. And this is probably the best part of Seth's title run, honestly, this whole bit where he just beats the hell out of him, and he keeps kicking it. It obviously gives him about 5 stomps. Even Lacey Evans scares, she doesn't want to be any more part of the match. So I thought that was all brilliant. And then yeah, the ending was fine, but then I did like that they didn't even get. And to be fair though, with Brock cashing, that would have been a bit, whilst that was a great end to that match, it would have been a bit of an underwhelming finish if that's just how it ended the whole show.
Yeah.
Whilst I do understand that, oh god, here we go again, Lesnar's champion, I think it's probably one of the best things they could have done in terms of him being Mr. Money in the Bank. And as you say, you've got Heyman starting now. You've got 5 weeks of Heyman booking him as champion. You'd like to think that it could, this could be me being complete wishful thinking, this could be me being deluded, but you'd like to think that it'd be enough to set a good feud up going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, just what I said. No, just what I said before, really. We've seen this, so I'm not too happy about it, really.
Okay, what else did you enjoy about the show?
There were Revival versus the Usos. If you want a blueprint for tag team wrestling 101, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what we've been waiting for, in all honesty, with all the, you know, back shaving and got this cream for you and stuff and all the crap that they've been giving us.
You say crap, I started shaving my back.
I'm really happy for you, Nick. But yeah, when they put them in the ring and give them good time, that was a fantastic match. As was the SmackDown title match, in honesty. For the New Day to win, which we never saw coming, unless I'm completely confused. I thought that was really
good.
Does
that make Kofi a double champion?
They've said that it does, because he's part of the stable of the New Day. So, yeah.
Cool.
And yeah, I mentioned earlier, Gulak versus Nice on the kickoff show was really good as well. The different nuances that Nice does reminds me of my modern day favourite wrestler, Paul London.
Mm-hmm.
And with the moonsault that he does, he did the moonsault off the ring post to Drew Gulak, who was on the second row. And that was amazing, especially on the kickoff show. But once again, the adverts mid-match really, really pissed me off, because they're disrespectful to the wrestlers. Enjoyed Samoa Joe versus Kofi Kingston, but I'm kind of now 100% clear that Samoa Joe is never going to win a Universal WWE title in WWE. And it's a damn shame, to be honest, because he is an incredible big man wrestler. Should have won it from Brock, should have won it from Kofi, should have won it from AJ Styles. He's basically, you know, he's allowed to be in fantastic storylines, but they don't pull the trigger on him. And that's really sad to see, in all honesty. And I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, just that, really, I think, off the top of my head.
Completely agree with all everything about the tag team wrestling. I made it clear on the show, or at the start of the show, how much I love my tag team wrestling. It's the best. That's why it's the best thing in wrestling, if done correctly. And like Stomping Grounds, I thought Stomping Grounds, the tag team, that made me really enjoy Stomping Grounds with the New Day versus Owens and Zayn.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought the tag team wrestling on that show was brilliant. And this was even better, to be fair. Uso's Revival class, and I think as well, I thought it was, you've got one of the best tag teams that have been around in WWE for a while, and the Usos, then you've got the Revival, who have been the best tag team NXT's probably ever seen, maybe DIY. But it was brilliant match, and I don't actually want the feud to end. I know we've had the jokes, as we mentioned in the past, with the thing. I'd actually happily see them have that go again, and maybe even get a bit more aggressive in the feud over the next four or five weeks or so, whatever it is. So enjoyed that. SmackDown, brilliant, and yeah, pleasant shock. I mean, I thought it would be Bryan and Roman retaining, and thought maybe it could potentially be Otis. And how great is Otis, by the way?
He's my favourite thing on SmackDown. I thought he's great since ever since he first appeared on NXT. So.
Yeah, well, I think they've really when they got called up, it was I got the general feeling of it was a bit meh from a lot of people. I think they've really, really come a long way on SmackDown. I think they've been excellent on SmackDown. I hope they do keep them in the tag team picture around that. And I guess it doesn't matter what show now, but I think them and Bryan Roan has so much to offer, and I think he's been great, Otis, and not taking away from Tucker Knight. I thought he had a great showing as well. But yeah, pleasant surprise with the New Day winning. Where Bryan and Roan go from here, I don't know. I mean, if it means Bryan's going back to single wrestling, no one's going to complain about that, are they? Really great tag team. One build I do want to mention as well myself was KO again. This is kind of obviously what we've seen over the last couple of weeks on SmackDown, but how great has KO been? Absolutely fantastic. His promos have been excellent.
Last 2 weeks. When it was announced it was going to be Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler, I was like, oh no, not another Dolph Ziggler match. I was so happy they only lasted 14 seconds. So that's...
I thought it added to the storyline well, but KO's just been, as I say, fantastic, and he's really got me wanting to watch. He's one of my hottest things at the moment. I don't know, but I'm just getting completely... I think for me, I just love a shoot promo, so whether it's just they've catered to my needs well here, which is why I'm so excited about this. But then inner me or out of me, whatever you want to call it, it's going, what the fuck you want? Why are you getting excited, Nick? You know that they're going to cop this up in 2 weeks' time and he'll get thrown in the trash can by someone like Strowman or someone, or come out in front and, or in the urinal or whatever. Really enjoyed his promos, and this one again was just brilliant. But the one on SmackDown about Shane was class. Now, did you see his tweet as well with all the superstars that could be there? I just loved it, that the odd casual superstar like Billy Kidman and Vladimir Kozlov.
I thought that was Billy Kidman.
Well, I went through it, and I presumed at the start I presumed it was someone from 205 Live, so I was like, oh, is it Tony Nese or someone? And I was like, hang on, that's Billy Kidman. And then I looked down, and I saw something else, and I kept scrolling up in my Twitter feed, and it was Billy Kidman had loads of retweets from, and his tweet was, why am I trending? With a question mark. Which was great. Kozlov as well, so really, really great. That was what I found great. But yeah, that was the only thing I think we haven't mentioned, but overall, lovely pay-per-view. And yeah, I mean, I think, with the two main title matches again not being great, whether that's cause for concern, I don't know. But overall, I've come out of this pay-per-view enjoying it. I mean, maybe if I stayed up till 4 a.m., maybe I might have been a slightly more negative about it. The fact that I watched it last night after work with fresher eyes, obviously, I enjoyed it. But overall happy. And I think, to be fair, Raw and SmackDown's been a bit odd the last sort of month. I think they've upped it now. You get one absolute atrocious episode, and then you get two sort of okay ones, and you get one pretty good one.
Yeah.
So I think that seems to be the trend since Stomping Grounds, I found. So it'll be interesting where they go from it. But it's in a better place, I think, at the moment, WWE, especially after that pay-per-view.
I really enjoyed the Last Man Standing match between Braun and Lashley. I thought it was just too... It was fun. It was two big hosses just beating the crap out of each other for 10 minutes.
And the ending was pretty amazing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, didn't realise how big the jump was. Because I thought when I did it, I was like, that's not that big. Oh, crikey, that is actually a bit of a jump.
Yeah. Anyway, he just bursted out of the box. That was amazing. So
I think, to be fair, it's always going to be quite hard, because that spot on Raw was obviously great. And yeah, it was always going to be hard. I mean, obviously, you didn't want them to go over the top because one of them could have died. So there's only so much they could have done. But I found the match not to be critical, Moni, but I just found the match waiting around for something like that to happen. I don't know about you two, but I just felt like it was quite predictable, the match, in a way that whilst it was enjoyable, you just kind of knew where it was going. They were going to brawl around the audience and what have you. Then it was just going to wait for one major spot at the end.
Yeah.
Probably Strowman winning, given he wasn't on Raw this week or what have you. Or if both men just can't answer the count of 10. I was just waiting for something massive to happen, and it did. What I did like the way Strowman just came kicking through, though. I thought that was quite a nice little touch as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just to sum up my feelings out of the 12 matches, we weren't sure about two of them. The predictions that I made for the show, I got 7 out of 10, so I did well there. In the prediction league that we do, not with you guys, but prediction league.
Yeah, I quit due to the amount of notifications. I'm very moody when I've not had my beauty sleep.
Consistency-wise, this is the best that we've had view of the year, in all honesty.
Yeah, definitely.
From bell to bell. You know, really, really good. Just amazing, in all honesty. Like I said, Revival, Usos, Nakamura, Bala, Gulak against Nice, Styles, Ricochet, you know, the Triple Threat, SmackDown Tag Team title match as well. I might be missing some, but that's four or five matches off the top of my head to show that this is a really good show. So definitely 100% recommend it for Mark Fox, who who said in the Facebook chat that he hasn't seen anything since Mania. Watch this one, Mark. It's the best pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
And
all we're booting you out of our, group chat. So, we're not that horrible.
For anyone who's listening, obviously watch the show, listen to the podcast, and see if it matches up with what we've said. Just really, really good. This show was highly recommended.
I just kind of thought, what we should have done, Chris, from the start of the year, from Rumble and onwards, we should have ranked each other out of 10, and then at the end, tally it all up, or what have you work it out, and then work out in order what we've actually thought was our.
Okay, maybe we can do that next year.
Yeah, already thinking of 2020. We never sit still. Always looking for ways to get better. So there you are. Listen to the Royal Rumble 2020 review.
So before we go, Oliver, do you want to plug your books?
Can I bring up one thing before you plug your books? Sorry, Oliver, mate. Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. I just had to. Been wanting to say it on last week's show, but it wasn't. What is going on with Shelton Benjamin at the moment on SmackDown?
I've heard about it, I've not seen it, so I don't watch SmackDown.
If you've got time, please watch. It's about 20, 30 seconds long. I just want to know what you two think about it, because... Well, I'll leave it as that. Watch YouTube, but it must be on YouTube. 20, 30 second video, watch it, and then next week, get back to it and see what you think, I don't know if it's me going mental.
You're doing something with Shelton Benjamin, so that's good, I suppose.
I'll be bringing back Shelton's mama.
Might have a different idea.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it yet. In terms of the books, The Fan's Perspective, 1 month's exploration of British wrestling. A Fan's Perspective, 2016, what year to be a fan of WWE. And A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. All of them available on Amazon. On paperback and Kindle. You can get paperback and signed at fansperspective.bigcartel.com, and if you have Kindle Limited, you can read all three books for free. I get paid per pages you read in one sitting. So yeah, thank you very much.
Lovely. I love the line at the end.
We also have a partnership with powerslam.tv, where you can get a month's free subscription if you use the promo code Broken Free. Please check out our recent interviews with Alan Kay, which is number 3 on the SoundCloud sports chart at the moment, so I'm really proud of that. And we recently also interviewed Lance Rivera, who was on Wrestle Island this weekend, and then Mr. Charles Crowley, which is a very interesting guy. I really love that interview. And we
did you say?
Mr. Charles Crowley.
I thought you said Charles Barkley, isn't the old basketball.
We've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, So hope you enjoyed the show, and follow us on Twitter. It's at BBGWPod. It's BBGWPod on all the social media. And check out BrokenButGlorious.com for all your latest wrestling news. Good night.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.